This evening, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, with translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Chapter 2, entitled Contents of the Gita Summarized. Text number 59. Vishaya vinivartante. Vishaya vinivartante. Niraharasya dehinah. Niraharasya dehinah. Rasavarjam, raso api asya, rasavarjam rasopyasya, param drishtva nivartate, param drishtva nivartate, vishaya vinivartante, vishaya vinivartante, niraharasya dehina, niraharasya dehina, rasavarjam rasopyasya, rasavarjam rasopyasya, param drishtva nivartate, param drishtva nivartate, vishaya vinivartante, niraharasya dehina, rasavarjam rasopyasya, param drishtva nivartate, vishaya vinivartante, niraharasya dehina, rasavarjam rasopyasya, param drishtva nivartate, vishaya vinivartante, niraharasya dehina, rasavarjam rasopyasya, param drishtva nivartate. Anyone like to lead the chanting? Anyone knows the verse? Bhakti Vinod? No? Oh, you got the Bhagavad Gita there. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for the sense objects remains. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. Responsibly, everyone, please repeat. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, Though the taste for sense objects remains, but ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Unless one is transcendentally situated, it is not possible to cease from sense enjoyment. Unless one is transcendentally situated, it is not possible to cease from sense enjoyment. The process of restriction from sense enjoyment by rules and regulations is something like restricting a diseased person from certain types of eatables. The patient, however, neither likes such restrictions nor loses his taste for eatables. Similarly, sense restriction by some spiritual process like Ashtanga Yoga in the matter of Yam, Niyam, Asan, Pranayam, Pratyahar, Dharana, Dhyana, and Samadhi is recommended for less intelligent persons who have no better knowledge. But one who has tasted the beauty, of the Supreme Lord Krishna in the course of his advancement in Krishna consciousness, no longer has a taste for dead material things. Therefore, restrictions are there for the less intelligent neophytes in the spiritual advancement of life. But such restrictions are only good until one actually has a taste for Krishna consciousness. When one is actually Krishna consciousness, he automatically loses his taste for pale things. When one is actually Krishna conscious, he automatically loses his taste for pale things. Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehina rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishtva nivartate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he remains fixed in consciousness. So this is our goal, to develop a higher taste. We are trapped in this material world and we are engaged in chewing the chewed. We are pleasure-seeking individuals. Every one of us will always move towards pleasure and move away from pain. We all want pleasure in our lives. We accumulate so many things that we have analyzed will give us some pleasure. And we try to acquire more and more things in relationship to this temporary body. But our experience is that no matter how much we get, and no matter what kind of variety we get, basically it all boils down to the same thing. There is nothing new today in 1998 that wasn't there in 1598 or in 998 or in 198 or whatever. There's nothing new. It's all the same. Ahar Nidra Bhai Maitun. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. All they have done is taken the old wine and put it in new bottles. And they're saying that we have advanced in civilization. We have not advanced in civilization, because we're simply engaged in animal propensities. Advancement in human civilization means to see that we are part and parcel of Krishna. To see that we have nothing to do with this material world. We have nothing to do with the concomitant miseries. Old age, disease, death, rebirth. These miseries are there. We're all experiencing them. Every person in his time, all of us, nobody is exempted. All of us go through these stages. Birth, old age, disease, we all get diseased at one time or another. It's not pleasant. We get old and we will die. There are 8 different kinds of fear, gross and subtle. And the most prominent fear within the mind and within the heart is the fear of death. We're all ultimately fearful of death. Even a big, proud person may say, I'm not afraid of death. But that's only as long as he's experiencing a prosperous, happy life. As soon as he loses everything and is actually faced with a few moments before his death, he becomes very fearful. Especially if he has a meeting with the agents of Yama, Yamadutas, then he's very fearful. Just like Ajamil. Ajamil, when he died, he was a very sinful person, and therefore his karma was very heavy, and the most disgusting looking, dreadful, ferocious Yamadutas came to capture him and pull him out of the body. And he was very fearful. He began to cry and scream. He was so fearful at the time of death. He began to scream. He was very lucky that he screamed Narayan. We may not all be that fortunate. I know of one devotee even recently who left his body. And even in a holy place he left his body. But very near the last moment, he began to scream and call out for his sister. Yeah. But he was very lucky that his close associate shook him and said, think of Krishna. And then he thought of Krishna. And then the Vishnu Dutas came and took him, just as they took Ajamil, because he called out Narayan. So that is good fortune. But 99% of the people, 99.99%, do not have such good fortune. They are fearful of death. So we are fearful. We are suffering so many miseries by nature. Miseries caused by our own body. Miseries caused by other living beings harassing us, insulting us, offending us, beating us, abusing us. This is a big topic now. All kinds of battering and abuse. Other living beings. This is adibhautik klesha. It is nothing new. These miseries are part of the material world. It is because we have chosen to identify ourselves. It is because we have not experienced a higher taste that we remain mired. We remain trapped in the lower material energy. We are actually aparayam tasplanyam prakritim vidimeparam jiva bhuta mahabaho yeyedam daryate jagat. Krishna says, they are struggling. They are my spiritual energies. They're part and parcel of the para prakriti, the superior energy. But they're struggling with the lower energy. And until they engage in my devotional service, they will never be satisfied. We're seeking happiness. When we take a drink of liquor, what is it that we want? Analyze the liquor. Is there something really in there that's the source of your ecstasy? Is it the fermented grapes, which is going to bring you sublime happiness? Old fermented grapes, is that going to bring you real happiness? What is there in eating meat or any other thing? Analyze every little part of it. Is this the essence of happiness? Or what is there in sex life? Draining our energy, drinking our own blood? Is this really it? Is this the highest happiness? No. So, what is that? Krishna says, param drishtva. What is that higher taste which we really want? That is devotional service to Krishna. Anartho pashamam sakshat. Bhakti yogam adhokshaje. This anartha upasanam. These anartha means superficial things. In this material world, everything is superficial. Everything is temporary. Even good or bad, even your bad situation is temporary. Your good situation is temporary, yes. But even your bad situation, if you have a bad day or a bad week or a bad month or a bad year, but ultimately that's also temporary. Good and bad in this material world. Dvaite badra badra gyan sarva manodan e balo e mande sa brahm. Simply illusion. Brahm. Brahm means illusion. Mo. There's no such thing as good or bad. It's all bad. No good or bad. It's all bad. Because you're getting entangled. Like the muadzala, like the fish caught in the net. The more you struggle to get out of your suffering, the more we try to make New York a better place by newer subways or a summer of fun or this or that or a new mayor or we make so many attempts. Put in a new road or put in more police in the police force or, you know, we have so many plans for making the material world a better place, but the result is we just become more and more lost in the labyrinth of the network of Maya. It's like a big labyrinth. In ancient Greece, they used to have these huge labyrinths which were, I don't know how to explain a labyrinth. Labyrinth is like the New York subway. But you don't have a subway guide and none of the trains are marked. You know? So how do you go anywhere? It's just endless. You can go this way, that way, every way. You don't know where you're going. So they used to have a big labyrinth. And they have some monsters in there. And some tigers and lions. And they would put people inside and they would try to find their way out. And they couldn't find their way out. And they would bump into all these lions and tigers and get eaten. Anyway. The material world is like that. We're in a big labyrinth. And we're trying to find our way out, but there are so many lions and tigers. There's so many miseries. And we don't know where's the beginning or where's the end. But when we take up devotional service to Krishna, all of these things, upasamam, they become mitigated. They become like a tiny drop from a huge ocean of suffering. The miseries of the material world become reduced to a small puddle which you can step over easily. Mam eva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. Tarantite, you can easily cross beyond all of the suffering when you take to the process of devotional service to Krishna. And we have to practice devotional service in our lives daily, not just on Sunday, not just when you come to the temple, but all week long, all day long, 365 days a year, not just one day. Like today. Today is... What's today? Huh?
Sunday.
What else is it? Father's Day. Yes. Okay. How many fathers do we have here? Quite a few fathers. How many fathers have one child? How many have two children? How many have more than two? Okay. How many fathers have one wife? How many have more than one? Okay, you don't have to reveal. But actually, today is Father's Day, and we respect our father, but a Krishna-conscious person, he doesn't follow rules and regulations without understanding them, without understanding the goal. Dharma svanustita pungshan visvakshena katasuya. Not padiyad yadiratim srama eva hi kedalam. Srama means useless labor. Srama eva hi kevalam. Useless labor. Useless work. Any activity which you do, any activity in your whole life, going to work or recreation or building a family or going on a journey, any activity that you do, if it's not somehow or other connected with giving you an attraction for Vishvakshena, the master of the universe, Lord Krishna, Jagannath, if it's not connected, if it's not helping you to get param drishtva, a higher taste, srama eva hi kevalam, it's simply a waste of your energy, waste of your time, waste of your human form of life. So, why are we worshipping fathers? Why are we worshipping fathers? What is the point? There are so many fathers. Just because he created a child? Is that very glorious? What about hogs and dogs and camels and asses? They're also having Father's Day today. Yeah, what's so glorious about creating offspring? Any animal can do that. There are 8,400,000 species. And there are all fathers and mothers. What is the point in worshiping a father? According to Shastra, Gurur Nasasya, Janani Nasasya. One should not become a father. One should not become a leader. One should not become a guru unless one can deliver his dependence from the cycle of birth and death. Unless one can give that higher taste by which someone can get free from the bodily conception of life and make a solution to all the miseries which we're experiencing and go back to Godhead and never come back to this material world again. It's the only solution. To never come back to the material world again. It's the only solution. There's no other. You can't make the material world a nice place by having a big family, by being a big father. You become respectable as a father, as a leader, as a teacher, as a guru, by giving instructions, by setting an example personally, and by giving instructions to your dependents how they can get free. Prasadam adigacchati. Raga dvesha. Attachment. Attachment. Raga to the material world and dvesha, envy of others. Raga dvesha. Vimuktaistu. One can become free from these things. When one is engaged in regulative principles which lead to Vasudeva Katha Ruchi, Susrusro Svabhadanasya, Vasudeva Katha Ruchi. When one develops an affinity, an attraction for hearing about Krishna, about Lord Chaitanya, about all the pastimes of the Lord, about Krishna's janma, janma karma chame divyam, evam yo veti tatata, tyakta videham punar janma naiti mameti sort. Just by hearing, by finding time in your daily schedule. You have so many things to do. New York is a busy place. It's hard to make ends meet. You're all working very hard, but you have to make time. It's not that time is just, you know, you can get some extra time. It's not that you can get money and buy more time. It's not that, you know, who's that guy with Mr. Donald Trump? It's not like he has a bank account of time. He doesn't have any more time than anyone else. The poorest homeless person has as much time in a day as Donald Trump or any other rich person in New York. The lowest homeless person with nothing, not even, maybe he only has a coat bin or something. He has no clothes even, I don't know. In India, homeless persons sometimes all they have is a coat bin. Of course, they're great yogis. They're not bugs. But they're homeless by choice. Because once you get a home, then griha, kshetra, sutapta, vitara, janasyamo, yamahamamiki. The more you accumulate in the material world, the more you can't understand the science of devotional service. You can't get the mercy of Krishna. You can't chant the holy name of Krishna. Now, this is not the richest district in New York, here in Brooklyn. And in fact, this is not even the best part of Brooklyn. And in fact, some people might even say it's the low part of Brooklyn. But I can tell you that the kirtans that we have here in this temple are ecstatic. And if we had a temple, you know, uptown Manhattan, I'll bet you we might get people to come to the temple. They would be stiff as a board. You know, they would not unwind. Or if we had in Westchester County or something, you know, people would come and they would stand there during kirtan, look around. If nobody was looking, they might get in a Hare Krishna. You know, but here in the temple, because nobody's got anything to really speak about. There's no Kraupatis or whatever so much here. So sometimes that's a disqualification to be materially opulent. Tayaparita chetasam, one becomes bewildered by his material opulence. So we're lucky. We have a nice program for kirtan. But we have to go farther than that. We have to do more than just develop happiness for ourselves. We have to give others a chance. This is aushadhi. Enate aushadhi maya nashibara lagi. Harinam maha mantra lao tumi magi. There's nothing like this holy name in all the 14 worlds. And it has filled the soul of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It is medicine. Take this holy name. So we have to give it. And people in Brooklyn will take it. So many people say Hare Krishna. Wherever I walk, all over Brooklyn, all over this area, people love us because they like chanting the holy name and they like Krishna Prasad. And all over New York, and actually all over the world, you will find that there's so many people who will experience immediately param drishtva, and they will rise above the modes of material nature. Mam chayo vyabhichayana bhakti yogena sevate. They'll engage in bhakti yoga by hearing shravanam kirtanam vishnu, and they'll rise above the modes and they'll feel freedom and they'll feel happiness like they've never felt before, because there's nothing new in the material world. It's only chewing the chew. It's so dull. It's so boring. It's so useless. There's only ecstasy in the holy name. The only happiness that we can really get is in the holy name. And fathers that distribute this knowledge, they're worth offering respect to. They're worth having a day for. Why one day? It's not that we respect our respectable fathers one day a year and then tell them to jump in the East River the other 364 days a year. We should worship our fathers all year long. Who is our real father? Radha Govinda. He's our father. And who's his representative? Srila Prabhupada is our father, because he loves us, because he took the trouble to tell us the truth, because he struggled alone in New York for so many years to bring us this message of Krishna consciousness. He was the only one who cared enough to give us freedom and happiness and joy. Despite all our miseries, we can be happy anywhere, because we have the key, we have the secret, we have the holy name. So, these are the real fathers that we should worship all year long. We'll get that higher taste. So, is there any discussion? Okay. One boy, he's always asking, sincere boy, but he's always coming, goes to every sannyasi and every leader, and he says, Maharaj, I haven't got the taste yet. So yesterday he approached me at Radhiyad and said, Maharaj, I haven't got the taste yet. What's the matter? Is the process wrong or something? So I stuck a rasgulla in his mouth and I said, did you taste it? He said, yeah. I said, that's the taste, man. So let's go and have the taste downstairs. Higher taste.